Well, in just a moment, I'm going to start reading from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 15, Paul's letter to the Colossians. And I invite you, as normal, to listen for a word of hope, of peace, of comfort, whatever God is wanting to communicate to you in our scripture this morning. And perhaps a word that you feel should be shared with our congregation here this morning. Let us listen as we read from the second chapter of Colossians, verses 6 through 15. As you, therefore, have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. May God bless our hearing and receiving of this word of Scripture. Now, were there any words that you heard that stood out for you this morning? Well, I'll share one more. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to walk in him. That's a good word for today. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. A Michigan woman and her family were vacationing in a small New England town, the same town where the actor Paul Newman vacationed often. One Saturday morning, I hear some oohs. That fits with the story. One Saturday morning, the woman was seized by a craving for a double-dip chocolate ice cream cone. So she hopped in the car, drove to the center of town, and went straight to the combination bakery ice cream parlor. The only other customer in the store happened to be Newman himself, sitting at the counter having a donut and coffee. The woman's heart skipped a beat or two as her eyes made contact with the celebrity's baby blues. Yep, they're there. Newman nodded graciously, and the starstruck woman smiled demurely. She quickly composed herself. "I'm a mature 45-year-old woman, not a teeny bopper," she told herself. The store clerk filled her order. She took the double-dip chocolate ice cream cone in one hand and her change in the other, and without even a sideward glance at Newman, went out the door. When she reached her car, she realized that she had a handful of change, but the other hand was empty. Where's my ice cream cone? She thought. Could I have left it in the store? Back in the store she went, expecting the cone to be still in the clerk's hand or in a holder or on the counter or just somewhere. She happened to glance at Paul Newman. His face broke into his familiar, warm, friendly grin as he said, "You put it in your purse." Have you ever done something like this? You've been so distracted by outside influence or worry to the point you forgot what you were doing? I know I do this just about daily. You can ask Shannon. But I think all of us do this at times, and particularly in our spiritual lives. If Jesus is the ice cream cone, when have you stuffed him in your purse? And what was it that distracted you? In the days of the Apostle Paul, the people of Colossae were holding on to their ice cream cone. They had been introduced to Jesus and found that life in relationship with God through Jesus was rich and sweet. They grew quickly in their faith, and the church prospered. Paul's letter to the Colossians was likely written to a house church, one of many in the Asia Minor area. And tradition holds that the wealthy Philemon hosted this church in his own home. The ice cream was rich and creamy. Their relationship with Jesus through the teachings of Paul. But the occasion for Paul's letter was a growing distraction. Apparently, there was a pre-existing faith community called the Philosophy that was mentioned in the scripture. Scholars argue whether this pre-existing faith community was the Jewish synagogue, some kind of Greek worship of the basic elements, earth, fire, water, and air, some kind of angel worship, perhaps, or a mix of several of these. The problem that resulted from this philosophy was that these new Christians in Colossae, who were growing in their faith and understanding of Jesus, were being led astray from the basics of Christian faith. They were told that to fully know God and reach their salvation, they needed to worship spiritual rulers and authorities. They needed to participate in special rites and observe special rules about foods and other matters. Paul writes to the Colossians, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ." Well, Paul is writing to us as well today. As you have received Jesus into your life, continue to live your life in Jesus. Sink your roots deep in the fertile ground of his teachings, his life, and his love. Build your life upon this strong foundation and the example he showed as he walked the road to the cross. Establish your life in a growing faith and give thanks to God for all you receive. We know that Paul traveled and preached, that he sent letters when he couldn't come in person. We surmise that Silas, Barnabas, Philip, and others also traveled around the Middle East and Asia Minor teaching about Jesus. But Christians were not the only teachers. There were pre-existing religions, a lot of idol worship. Astrology, that shouldn't be hard to say, was popular then too. And then there were even new sprouts growing even out of Christianity. Now, we have a lot of churches today, a lot of different denominations, a lot of people claiming that theirs is the only right way to follow Jesus, the only way to worship and serve God. Even in our own church, someone might decide sometime that we have to worship or run the church in a particular way in order to truly serve God. But these are all distractions. These are all distracting us from that sweet dessert that is ours to enjoy. If we're not careful, we can tuck Jesus quietly into our purses or pockets for you gentlemen and go on with our lives, even our church lives and ministries, without taking Jesus with us. Now, how many have experienced distractions from your focus on following Jesus? Anybody just this morning? It happens. But something is missing. Our reason for being, our reason for life, our reason behind all of our programs and ministries as a church. Well, I'm here this morning to say they're not missing anymore. As our new identity mission statement reads, our identity is deeply rooted in God's word and the love of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. It is Jesus who holds the fullness of God. There's no reason to seek for something beyond your relationship with Jesus, to find your own fullness and joy in life. No special actions, prayers, songs, creeds, nothing. Sometimes we need to be reminded to keep it simple. Don't make life so complicated. Do only one thing. Hold fast to Jesus, the head of the church, the solid root, the foundation in which your faith was established. Hold on to Jesus and grow in your faith. Grow strong in your understanding of God and there find your hope. Then put your faith into action. Faith in action, emphasizing evangelism and outreach, is one of the primary core values that we've identified through our Vision into Action process from our retreat with Dale Matherly, our regional minister. Faith in action, along with other core values, will guide our decisions, our decision-making, and our ministries today and into the future. Other core values, unofficial so far, include, there they are, loving kindness. I like that one. Bill helped us with that one. Loving kindness, welcome and belonging, deep connection and community, spiritual growth and transformation, shared worship and leadership, commitment to lifelong learning, care and support for all, teamwork and shared purpose. Everyone has a place in the choir. That's our phrase for that one. And growth without judgment. Our Vision Action Team is working on finalizing these core values, presenting them to the board for congregational discussion, but I'd like to invite you to start considering them and discussing them even this morning. We will discuss these core values, pray about them as a church, And then we need to put them into action, or continue putting them into action, because they are our core values already. You will find a list of the tentative core values in your sermon notes, if you haven't noticed that yet. Please offer your thoughts, your insights. We're moving along in our vision process. We've finished our identity mission statement. We're working on these core values. We've finished our Vision to Action retreat, and you'll be hearing, starting this morning, the progress of our vision team projects in the coming weeks. We are seeking God's vision for the future ministries of First Christian Church. Now, trying to identify a vision from God, that can seem a little scary, because it will likely bring change. But growing in faith and hope will always bring change. God isn't standing still. Hang on, Ronnie. God is still creating and working, reconciling in our world. Why shouldn't we still be growing and working and changing as well? Maybe especially as we are aging. A pastor tells of his daughter who taught swimming lessons in their pool. She always left the line up between the deep and the shallow ends until her students were familiar with the pool. After a week of lessons and the children were swimming along, she knew they were ready for the deeper level. But to acclimate them to that, she would take down the line separating the two levels. Usually this would make the students very nervous. This was shown by one boy in particular when he remarked, "Miss Tawny, please put the line back up. The deep water is getting into the shallow water." Now, we laugh at this, but are we any different? God may challenge us to a new and deeper level of growth by urging us out of our comfort zone. And we cry, "But God, the deep water is getting into the shallow water." God is calling us to grow into our core values, into our faith, to take a risk and swim out into deeper water, into deeper faith in action. Will you take the plunge? Now, Ronnie, I told you, hang on a second. Do you have a word to add? Got to be short. There were others before you, but you guys have been the ones that stuck with us. And we appreciate you coming in. And I appreciate all of you that have made these two gentlemen and others feel welcome. Absolutely. We do appreciate Bruce. He helps us a lot to live into our faith in action. So your take-home assignment, not just a question this time. Please offer your opinions on how well these core values that you saw there in your sermon notes, how well they describe our present ministries. Which ones do you think are essential for our future? And do you think any are unnecessary? In other words, do these feel right, like who we are, or who we want to be, or who God wants us to be? Will you pray with me? Strong and loving God, we're so grateful for your Son Jesus more than anything. The love that you have for us that led you to let Jesus come and walk this earth as a human, with all the troubles and anxieties, the challenges and death and injury and all the hard parts of life. And then you let him give his own life on the cross for us. We are so grateful, O God. And we're grateful that you call us to be your church, where we can live out this journey that Jesus began, that we can walk that road to his cross, carrying our own crosses so much of the time, to learn to grow and be who you call each one of us to be in our own way. We come to give you thanks, O God. We come to worship you this morning. We come to share a meal with you in just a moment. We pray your blessing on each of us as we gather and as we go out with your message of love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.